I like to think of the Inside Bowl as the dry run for the Fiesta Bowl. Mm. Because it doesn't even really have its own people or its own website or anything.
And by really mean, it doesn't have its own website at all.
It's like the little Applebee's takeout window.
It's an annex.
Yeah. Like, are you scared of the full thrilling menu of the Fiesta Bowl? Do you want 1/3 of the value of the Fiesta Bowl in the same stadium? Right? No. If you do, then you get the
Wait, no, this isn't in the same stadium. Don't they play this at Arizona State?
They play this. They do play this at Sun Devil Stadium. I'm broadcasting from 15 years in the past. What is this podcast? What is this internet? Yeah, it's at Sun Devil Stadium. It's not at Glendale. But it doesn't even... It's run by the same people, and it doesn't even have its own promotional sort of pitch. It just has this, like...
No, it's like curbside Fiesta Bowl.
It is. It is. It's like the Fiesta Bowl in a large plastic bag with utensils, packets of ketchup, and a takeout menu. That's what this is. And just like that product, this too seems hurried, thrown together at the last second, and will probably get cold.
Full of trans fat.
Exactly. It'll probably get cold after the first 15 minutes or so. That's what I'm guessing. And how much fun can this be for Iowa, by the way, since they already had a really successful trip to Arizona this year?
And well, they get to leave Iowa in January, in December. I don't think they get to complain.
That's true.
They're just grateful.
They get to leave the home of massive factories, aluminum sheds, and cornfields. Most people think Iowa's just cornfields. I've been there. There's also
a large shed-based economy.
Their shed-based economy and terrifying factories of tremendous design, construction, and steam output. And they all make different things, but they all look the same. You point to one and you say, hey, what does that one make? And they're like, that makes oatmeal, and it smells really good around it. And then you smell, and it smells like pig slop. And then you go to another one, you say, what's that? And they're like, oh, that's a slaughterhouse for pigs. And they're like, what does it smell like? I'm like, yeah, it smells like a slaughterhouse. So that's another thing to remember about Iowa. If they make a factory, it always smells like a slaughterhouse, no matter what they make. It's a real talent.
Sometimes things just need slaughtering.
Sometimes things do need slaughter. Have you ever seen a game in Sun Devil Stadium, by the way?
Yes, I have. I saw the 2008 Georgia-Arizona State game.
Yeah.
It was like being in the maw of hell, just temperature-wise.
It's hot even at night. It just doesn't really make sense. Also, that stadium, it has this hill behind it. Like, it has a fair amount of landscape to it. It does have kind of a, like, desert Delta Force showdown field to the whole thing. But that stadium, it feels old. It feels like 1983 when you're in there. It's not a very attractive place to watch a football game, all told. Like, big sort of faceless press boxes and this, like, ominous hill behind the whole thing. It's not a particularly awesome venue. The stadium in Glendale, weird as Glendale is, just sort of located in the middle of nowhere, the stadium in Glendale is a better deal, even if this is closer to civilization. Missouri and Iowa are playing in tonight's Inside Bowl. You are charged with discussing, of all teams, Missouri, which I find to be the least interesting one, since they're not the ones. I know. We did this before the call, and I'm like, I want Iowa, because they're totally on the verge of collapsing internally. So tell me a little bit about Missouri and why you're really not excited to talk about them.
Missouri and Iowa are two of those teams that just, when casually you think about it, you have to really stop and think about, wait, no, they're not in the same conference. This isn't a rematch. Okay. Missouri lost me for the year when they beat Illinois 23-13 on Labor Day weekend. They lost me for good.
By the way,
that game,
as far as a dedicated college football opening weekend rivalry, there is no more crap opener than Missouri Illinois. I mean, it's bad. Even when it's
like a lukewarm. It's a lukewarm tin of oysters that's just been left to sit out on the table with the lid still attached.
I know, it's so very bad in every single way. And even the joy of watching Name Redacted lose, right? Like, watching Coach Redacted just choke it to Missouri of all teams. It's not like they're going like, you know, Missouri is like a B plus team, a B to B plus team. They used to be a B, now they're like a B plus, right? So watching, even the joy of watching them lose to a team that, that a lot of other teams would beat handily, right? Like, even that's diminished by the overall shittiness of this game. That reason alone why you shouldn't pull from Missouri is that they
where they really started to baffle me this year. They had this 4-game stretch that started in like the middle of October where they beat a very good Texas A&M team 30-9. They held off Texas A&M. They held Texas A&M to 9 points. And then the game that they're known for, and the, really the only reason they're ranked, is that the next week Oklahoma was ranked number one, and true to Oklahoma form, they didn't stay that way. And they beat Oklahoma 36-27. They rang up 36 points on what was allegedly a very good Oklahoma defense. Turn around and just get whacked by Nebraska. It was that 31-7 Nebraska game. And then they lose the next week to Texas Tech. They scored 36 points on Oklahoma's defense, and they scored 17 on whatever on earth Tommy Tuberville has stitched together with baling wire and spare parts from discarded scout teamers on Texas Tech's defense.
Yeah.
And those were their two losses, but they were both just odd.
Well, this is all very unjust and unfair because they're actually a very good team. This is really just us being spoiled.
But we're okay with that.
That's okay. I mean, I fully admit we're spoiled. However,
don't email us. We will not change our ways. Do not email us.
Yeah, but when watching them, the only thing I've really enjoyed about Missouri this year is Blaine Gabbert's Twitter feed because he always tweets like, you know, like he obviously has this real chill bro lifestyle, and he always tweets his dinner. He's a bit of a gourmand. He's like, oh, eating tonight steak and asparagus. Like, you eat a lot better than most college students. I wonder why! NCAA conspiracy theory. The team that we're looking at on the other side is far more fascinating, if only for the fact that God hates Iowa. God really hates Iowa. Some God. All God.
Another thing that broke.
Right. And this is because we were going to have a fullback to step in for the 7 Iowa running backs who've died this year, thus depleting their running back chart again after drug tests, after injury, after transfers.
Hey, why is Iowa being... Wait, time out.
Yeah.
Sorry. Why is Iowa being invited to a bowl that's clearly a front for an organ harvesting operation when they themselves have no running backs left to give?
That's a very good question. Probably because they know that...
That's some bad personnel on the part of the inside bowl.
Well, probably because they know there will be bodies. Whoever they announce as starting running back will be shot, will have an unfortunate run-in with a caribou, will be injured in some sort of way where they could just take the body. There'll be no work. If they're an understaffed bowl game, they can't go out and abduct players and steal their kidneys. Right? They got stuff to do. Right. They need a body. They need something they can just drag. And inevitably, if you call up Iowa, you'll get that. Which, the angry Iowa running back hating God is Blackheart Goldpants, struck again this week because they were going to have fullback Brad Rogers, but he's going to miss the game and the rest of the season's practices because he needs some heart tests. So angry running back hating God is now attacking the very central engine that drives human life. Which means
you have to hand it to them in terms of different types of attrition. They're very thorough.
They are. And this is Iowa also is fascinating because the general trajectory of their season from the start was a disaster because Iowa got off to their standard fast start and then went out to Arizona and lost a thrilling, bizarre but thrilling game in the desert, 27-34. Blew a huge lead in that game. Then managed to ride the ship somewhat, and then just started losing, and losing, and losing, and losing. In their final 6 games, they were 2-4, including a 3-game losing streak to end the season, where they lost in sequence to... Actually, I'm going to say they lost 4 in a row, because that first one was a win over Indiana, but it was only a 5-point win. It was 18-13.
That doesn't count.
No, that's a loss. And then they lost to Northwestern on the road. They lose at home to Ohio State, and they lose, and this is the worst one, to Minnesota, 27-24 at Minnesota, with allegedly a brawl in the locker room. Afterwards.
And this is without the steady hand of Tim Brewster on the opposing tiller too. This was in week what, 12?
Yeah, this is a week 12, and all of this, by the way, we haven't even gotten, like, running back casualties aside, the disappointing season Adrian Claiborne had at defensive end didn't come close to the form that he had in 2009. We haven't even gotten to Daryl Johnson Koulianos being arrested on drug charges.
That happened.
Yeah, their Pearl Harbor Day celebration was Daryl Johnson Koulianos being arrested for running a drug house. That's one of the charges, right, or keeping a drug house. He was arrested for marijuana, cocaine, and prescription drug possession. All right, in the residence.
Again, very thorough.
Yeah, and DJK, as the kids call him, easier to text if you're ordering, if you know what I mean, man. And also had electronic media showing him in possession of drugs, which this all leads to the bizarre press conference last week where Kirk Ferentz comes out and essentially via a circumscribed statement says, we have a drug testing program, but our players found a way around it. That's it. So they suspend, they end up kicking one guy off, suspending somebody else for the game. And this team is an unholy awesome mess. this is a disaster. I don't think you'll see a team that internally has as many problems this year as Iowa. And boy, won't that be good after a month's break to convene in the middle of the desert to settle all their problems. I can't see Iowa coming back from this. I know they typically prepare very well for bowl games. I just think with no run game and with no internal cohesion and a general pall hanging around this football program, and that's not an intangible at this point when you've had multiple guys arrested, booted off the team, against a Missouri team where things have been pretty chill. This could be a pretty ugly football game by the third or fourth quarter.
Which, that's only appropriate.
Only appropriate. And if Missouri does get the chance to really...
For City it, Beautiful is what I mean.
Yeah, for...
Wait, no, we're not even talking about that one anymore. Where are we?
Every town is the City Beautiful.
We're in Arizona.
We're in Tempe, Arizona. By the way, with this bar scene, I'm just gonna go ahead and say, Iowa's getting another player arrested. Somebody's getting in a fight. Somebody's getting
at like Gord Biersch or someplace.
Right. If Kirk Ferentz was really intelligent, and I think he is, then they get on the plane in their uniforms. That's it. Right off the field. Don't even take your cleats off. Get right on the bus. Right on it, like that's it. No inner between, because then somebody's just gonna go out, blow off steam, and get arrested. It's totally happening. Yeah.
Unless somebody like assaults a flight attendant, which don't act like it couldn't happen.
don't act like we can just have our own little Big Ten themed Con Air.
Oh, that's where we should have gone with this from the beginning.
Right. Well, that's what's going to happen, and then the Big Ten Network will make a movie about it. Right. Where, you know, it'll be like those ESPN movies back when Mark Shapiro was running ESPN-tainment.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, you know, the Dale Earnhardt, you know, movie. I ain't like you, Diddy. Just want to race. I think that's what you'll get here, and you'll have, you know, who would play Kirk Ferentz? That's a really good question.
Ooh. Hmm.
It'd have to be
George Lopez.
George Lopez as Kirk Ferentz.
Because he's everybody.
Yeah, and I think as Adrian Claiborne, we'll have... Ooh, how can we work in Chris into this? Street Fighter Chris.
Oh, Chris Klein. Let's see. Chris Klein can play
Adrian Claiborne.
I was gonna say that Chris Klein could play Jim Delaney in like a bald wig.
Licking his lips.
God knows he's overwrought enough. Can I just say that I paid money to see Legend of Chun-Li in the theater, and that Chris Klein's performance, taken out of context, may look silly, but in the movie it's actually really amazing because he's the only one in the entire film who appears to know that he is in a Street Fighter knockoff sequel and is acting accordingly, and everybody else is taking their parts really seriously, and it's kind of embarrassing to watch for them.
I think you just summarized Ricky Stanzi's year at Iowa perfectly.
Isn't that something?